Hi, everyone. It's Connor here. Welcome back to Science Unscripted. Huge weekend coming up here for football, and I really mean both kinds of football, both football or soccer, if you want to call it that, and also American football. The English Premier League is kicking off again, its first game on Saturday. American football officially kicks off Thursday night in the U.S., and then Sunday is a huge day with all sorts of games going on, and that's kind of a problem. And it's a problem because some stadiums or stadia are going to be partially full with people in it. Some of the seats are going to be empty. Some of them are going to have a person sitting in them. And unfortunately, there's new research out of the UK indicating that even if you massively reduce the number of people in stadiums, the COVID numbers go up.
Science Unscripted.
Hi, I'm James Reed. I'm a professor of sports economics at the University of Reading in the UK. I have just been a lead author on a study looking at the impact of football matches here in England on the spread of coronavirus in the country in the early spring this year.
Let's jump right to the conclusion, James. What did you find in your study? What was the primary finding?
Okay, so the main finding is that there appears to be an effect of football matches, regardless of how full the stadium is, and it appears to be about 6 additional coronavirus cases per 100,000 people, 2 additional coronavirus deaths per 100,000 people, and 3 additional excess deaths per 100,000 people.
And when you say 100,000 people, you're talking in the city surrounding the event.
So this is the rate of each of these 3 measures in the local areas.
And you said regardless of how many people attend the game?
That's what it seems to be. It surprised me. So when we controlled for various measurable characteristics of these local areas, so the racial profile, the age demographic, the income levels, the population density, then the effect, regardless of whether a stadium was 10%, 20%, 50%, 80%, 90%, appeared to be very, very similar. And these, you know, the numbers that I've already said are essentially the numbers that were fairly consistent across the whole range of how full a stadium was.
So my real question is how can that possibly be? I would have been the first to say that if you reduce a stadium by 80%, so 4 out of every 5 seats are empty, that I would have thought that's enough to stop the aerosol spread. I mean, you're usually outdoors anyway, and that this wouldn't lead to all that many more infections, if at all. What's going on? How are people getting infected?
So my sense is, and of course, the first thing to get out there is that I'm a football fan myself and I want to get back to going to football matches. But I'm also a football fan of a team that's really not very good. And so the stadium's not very full. So I'm quite familiar with going to stadiums that aren't very full. And the thing about them is that you still do interact with people in fairly enclosed spaces. So you'll go down to the concourse and get a hot dog or a burger, or if you can, a drink of some description. And you'll go into the toilets or the bathrooms as well, of course. You'll queue up, going through parts of the stadium to get into the stand, to sit down and so on. And of course, singing, shouting, that's those droplets that are going out. And we've seen these studies of other settings like this where singing takes place and we see the spread of the virus. So my sense is it's these aspects which will happen regardless of whether a stadium is 20% full or 90% full. Fans will still buy things, fans will still go to the bathroom, fans will still sing and support and shout in favor of their team.
How exactly did you collect the data that led to the conclusion that it doesn't matter how many fans are in attendance at a stadium when it comes to the spread of the coronavirus in the local area?
Well, we have this COVID-19 data on cases and deaths and excess deaths via the Office for National Statistics here in the UK. And then we've looked at whether matches that took place in March primarily, but we've also looked at matches in February as well. And then we've looked at whether there's any kind of impact on cases and deaths in April.
It's interesting that you mentioned February and March, which at least in my brain, that's the before time. That's where we were all, even here in Germany, there was carnival going on. We were all pretending that a pandemic wasn't beginning to spread around the world. Is it possible that that's a weakness in this particular study in the sense of maybe we've changed our behavior a little bit since then so that if a stadium does have reduced capacity, you know, we've got the face masks on, we're social distancing in the lines for those hot dogs and those burgers that you talked about. Is that possible that we've gotten better?
Absolutely. If we're able to, approach football matches differently, I see no reason why we can't have a return to attending football matches as fans.
The Green Bay Packers, they have just decided not to allow fans to attend the first two games this season. What would have happened, it would have been 12,000 of a capacity of around 80,000. Based on your findings, James, was that a good decision for the Green Bay Packers?
I think I don't wish to make any kind of affirmative statement about yes, this is a bad idea. No, this is not a, this is a good idea. But as I say, I think our research suggests that attendance at matches needs to be very carefully organized now in a way that it didn't need to be organized before. So if it was at the Green Bay Packers, then I my instinct is that that would have been fine with 12,000 and 80,000 stadia. But equally, I can also appreciate that there's going to be some reluctance when you see results like what we've presented in our paper, and indeed there are, there's a couple of other papers that are out there on American sports. So you may be familiar. There's a paper looking at basically sports franchises in the U.S., their location in cities, and the effect on influenza over a long time period. So having a NFL team or a baseball team in your city does increase flu cases and flu deaths. Equally, there's a paper by Stoker and co-authors that have looked again at NFL teams that make the postseason, and again, there's an effect on flu. So there's certainly some kind of health effect of sport as it's been organised pre-COVID. So the question really is whether we can organise sport post-COVID in a way that mitigates the spread of airborne viruses.
And that was James Reed from the University of Reading. He's a sports economist there. One thing that we talked about after the mics were kind of turned off, and that's worth repeating, for all of you who are enjoying these sports in the comfort of your home, I know it's tempting. You're going to want to have some people over to watch the games with you. If you're going to have people over, keep the numbers low. Keep the windows open. I know that's strange in winter, or at least have some fresh air blowing through. Keep the face masks on. And for God's sake, don't double dip in the guacamole dip. You shouldn't do that anyway, but now, especially, don't do that. Maybe separate bowls of guacamole? I don't know. Find a way to do it that's corona safe. If you have any questions, anything you want to say, get in touch with us. We're su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.